hey everyone, my name is Austin Scher with We Write About Music, and today I'm here with Paul Rust and Michael Cassidy of Don't Stop or We'll Die. The band has plans to launch a weekly podcast coming out next Wednesday called Song Week. Every week they're going to be releasing a new, brand new original song for free everywhere podcasts are available. And also on their Patreon, where you can find, we're going to be getting exclusive content as well. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Exclusive with a capital E.
Oh, baby.
And a capital X.
And a capital X. Holy
moly. yeah, right. There'll be a Patreon with some special goodies on it. There'll be bonus episodes. You can get your name sung on to the podcast.
Yeah.
Things in musical form.
Nice. Well, that sounds exhilarating, and I will definitely be checking that out for sure. Before we get into your music, though, I wanted to know a little bit more about your guys' relationship. I know you've been making music together for a while. How did you meet? How long have you known each other? What's going on between you two?
Well, I know people can't see this. It's just a Zoom call amongst friends. And first of all, Austin, thank you so much for having us on your podcast.
Anytime.
The video on my camera right now, I don't know if it looks like it, it's sort of like kind of hazy. I look like I'm in a soap opera or something.
Like they put Vaseline on the lens.
Exactly. Maybe I did.
maybe I'm dreaming.
When this starts going like this, you'll see. But yeah, Mike, our relationship, it's on 20 years now, huh, buddy?
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, we've been friends for a long time and performing for a long time, that entire time. We met performing, essentially.
That's right, yeah. Fall of 2000, right at the birth of the new millennia.
Dang, uh-huh. Wow. So we're at the 20-year anniversary right now. Unreal.
Yep, that we just exactly how we planned it. And then we're going to give it another to the end, so it's exactly 20 years, and then we're going to hang it up. We'll be friends for all time. But yeah,
it's all based on the werewolf cycle, Mike. It's all based on the werewolf cycle. It's based on the werewolf cycle, where every 20 years we owe blood to the musical werewolves of the world, and they give us. That's what Werewolves of London is about.
Yeah. Is it?
Mm-hmm. My 3-year-old loves this song, by the way, Werewolves of London. He lights up like a Christmas tree when you play Werewolves of London.
It's my gosh.
Me too. What a coincidence. So is this upcoming, I guess, collaboration release or whatever you guys going on, has this been something that's been in the works for a while, or is this more of like, boom, we're locked down in quarantine, let's appease the fans?
Word, yeah. We've been thinking about doing this kind of thing for quite a while. And quarantine maybe squeezed it out of us, but we've been slowly constructing it for, I don't know, a couple years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been an idea we've been kicking around. It was kind of born out of, solely born out of just like Mike and I, meeting up weekly, and we'll have maybe just a session playing together, and a couple things will come out of it. But if you don't really have something to, if we don't have something to motivate us to put it out to the world or to get it together for a show, it just kind of exists only as that like little verse and chorus. And it was nice with the, once we started, kicking around this idea of how would we do a podcast, the idea kind of emerged or whatever. That sounds pretentious, but it was just like we have this will force us to kind of like actually do these songs, and then the plus is getting to share them with people and have immediate sort of like release and contact with people out in the world.
Yeah, having a faster, easier way to get songs to people who listeners or whatever, Because making an album is fun, but it's a thing, you know? Making an album, putting out an album, it's like that set of songs becomes precious in a way that is not inherently negative, but we kind of, like Paul said, we're looking for a way where we can just go like, hey, a song could just get out to the people and stand on its own two legs. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's interesting what you said, Mike, though. Yeah, like the preciousness or the even like the pressure of like when you release something formally, like, I don't know. It just kind of not that it ever got this way for Mike and I, but like the I don't know, sweatiness isn't always like the greatest thing. And so like forcing us to like come out with something every week, it, I don't know. I think it also like accentuates things that are things I already like about our band, which is just like it's a little more impulsive or something.
Oh, impulsive to say the least. So assuming, let's say there was like 12 episodes, for example, would you take those 12 songs that you made and put them on an album? Or are these songs that you put out just going to be one-off single releases?
The plan now is to have them available for free anywhere you get podcasts.
Okay.
Embedded into the podcast. And then there is a Patreon where there's a subscription level where you get MP3 downloads of the songs. Nice. So it operates like a little private iTunes. And releasing them formally on albums, there are no immediate plans to do that. It could be a fun idea. It depends on what happens when we start amassing this catalog.
That's true. Could really do anything with it.
And it might be something fun that we could put to the audience or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know how, like, conscious of this we are, because, hey, Austin, in 2020, what is an album these days, really? Really?
Anything you'd want it to be.
Right. Yeah. Pay what you can. 10 tracks that are all 39 minutes long.
But you say that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You saying that, asking that though, does make me think, like, I do think in some ways Mike and I have, like, as we've like sequenced the songs out for the next few weeks, it did kind of in a strange way end up just taking like the form of what an album is too, you know? So
right.
You obey certain rules or whatever.
That's true. Yeah, it's being programmed still, kind of. Like, it's just a little more fluid the way it's being programmed and ongoing.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose if it has your guys' signature cohesive sound, you could really call it whatever you want. You could put it wherever you want. So it's, you know, as the artist, it gives you the freedom to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you were watching TV growing up or even now, and you have to wait week to week for the next episode, didn't in the back of your mind you were always like, I wish I could experience Beatles albums like this. Just hear the first track of Abbey Road, wait 1 week.
Oh, my.
And maybe it's wrong for us to compare ourselves to the Beatles because we're better, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why it's wrong.
Oh, man. So, you know, I know it's not just you guys making all of your music. I want to know more about your guys' backing band, because they're extremely impressive, and I want to get them heard about as well.
Well,
I would say not at all to correct you, but I would say they're definitely more than a backing band.
They are the band.
Fellow the band. Musicians making music.
Well, and Tony Thaxton, who's been training with us for years now, is also producing the podcast. As he does, you know, he's a podcast producer impresario. And Amin Zarukian is producing all of the music, all of the songs that we're releasing. He's producing the music, just like he did on a previous album, Dazzle Me, with Dan Molad. And he's produced a lot of stuff for us. But so those guys are definitely in the artistic gumbo for the band and the podcast. And Paul and I write the songs, but the production of the songs is certainly a group thing.
Got it.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, we're definitely like 1,000% what Mike said. Yeah, they're the band, and it's also like definitely have the muscle of like you know, Tony being in Motion City soundtrack, and Amin being in Spirit Kid. Like, they definitely have chops that I won't.
Oh yeah.
Definitely wouldn't speak for Mike, but for me, whoo boy, they come in a handy during a live performance. And also, yeah, like with Tony with his drumming, certainly, and then yeah, with Amin, he does like he adds so much instrumentation wise, not just on guitar, but like he'll do all kinds of like additional touches that are real, not just with the podcast, but previous recordings that are I don't think I've even said this to Amin. How sad that I would never even say this to him face to face as a friend. But but I think like his, like the thing he's like so great at is like his, the same way I would say this to Michael Cassidy, my bandmate and friend of 20 years, that like they have a real grasp of being able to recreate or have an understanding of music history and just like style and like form. So you know, Mike certainly, and then like, yeah, Amin will if we want him to come up with like a country music guitar part, he like can totally do that. It's just it's really he's, both of them, everybody's just very fun to collaborate with, because they're so creative, so goddamn creative. I'll use the Lord's name in vain.
Do it. Lord, emphasize it.
Well, thank you, my friend. I received that in kind, and obviously, yeah, it means versatility, and they're kind of real. Not that we're not a real band, obviously we're a real band, but like their real world, like music scene experience is really a huge asset to us, because Paul and I are performers certainly, but you know, we haven't been touring with bands for the last whatever, you know what I mean? So they bring a lot of different flavors to our silly old tunes, guys.
But it's funny, yeah, Mike, it reminds me of like when we were played some live shows in Philadelphia. And we were all in a van with a great band, the Sloppy Boys, and we were all traveling together in a van. And Mike and I, and then the three Sloppy Boys, along with Tony and Amin, we were all talking about like touring stuff and kind of like based on our small sort of experiences, trying to like extrapolate from like, oh, well, what could that mean on this on the road? And I noticed Tony and Amin were just like very respectfully quiet. I said, I imagined in their mind, they're like two guys who've had lots of sex and they're listening to like five virgins.
Oh my god.
Who just had sex, being like, I've heard the best way to cure.
You know, it's funny that you bring up the Sloppy Boys, because we interviewed them a couple months back for their album release as well. And they also said the same thing about not being musicians and not feeling like they're in a band. So I don't understand why you guys wouldn't think that. You're out there, you learned the instruments, you're making the songs. Why wouldn't you consider yourself? Is it a case of imposter syndrome? Like, what's going on here?
Well I don't know. I mean,
you can do two things.
I got some music degrees, but being a real rock band, it just feels like we're on a different measure. Maybe
but you guys do rock, like
Austin.
But I'm not just saying that. I'm serious.
We're not pitching, not possibility. I think we're just like two Iowa boys who can't handle it.
Right. You're making it in LA, playing clubs, touring all over. I get it. All right.
You got us.
I also think it's like a like having a great respect for, yeah, like full on real bands and like
sure.
Like I don't know if a rock band was like sometimes like putting up like comedy sketches they did and or letting right. like let's say their music videos were trying to be a little funny and then after that they were like, we are professional comedians, I would be like, pump the brakes, guys. So
okay, I get that.
Like the other side, I don't want to be like hey, look out, Arcade Fire, we got your back. Hey
Hi, my son is here. Can I say hi? I don't know what that was. All right.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Look at those cutie pie curls.
Yeah. Oh, no God. COVID haircuts for this guy.
Oh,
not
geez.
A one. Nary a one. All right.
Too funny. So that kind of brings me to my next question here. I was going to say, it seems as though there's a lot of comedians that have been transitioning to making music, not necessarily like in a career, but they're making a lot of music. And I was going to say the Sloppy Boys. We spoke with John Daly about a month ago, who's also planning to put out an album. Yeah. Chelsea Peretti put out an album.
Oh, yeah.
Is it because it's easier to get music out these days, or is it just... not necessarily, you don't need to perform in an audience, you can just put music out there? What do you think kind of like the line is between comedy and music?
I mean, I feel like it is partially access, like releasing music is just, I think maybe is just easier than like shooting a stand-up special and releasing a stand-up album or et cetera. It's certainly easier than like creating a sketch comedy show, which is next to impossible. Yeah. And like Herculean effort, but I also feel like Paul and I have talked about this a little bit, where because we are a real band, Austin.
Yes,
because we're here to stay.
Thank you. The more you say it, the more you can believe it. There you go.
Manifest it. I think because it's a band and we're playing music, you're not beholden to the same kind of joke structure or comedic payoff structure that you are with other, you know? And it's not like those albums that you mentioned aren't without jokes, to be sure. But it's just different. You're able to articulate those jokes in a different way and sometimes maybe get away with just not making jokes. I definitely think that's the path that Paul and I took was, let's sing about and play the kind of music that makes us feel happy and fun. And if it makes sense, awesome. And if it doesn't make sense, it kind of doesn't, it'll acquire its own sense. Like once it's alive and breathing, we like to like, we like to not do a lot of drafts. We just kind of want to capture the essence of something that was funny, a moment that was funny, and put it like translated into music. And that doesn't always have, I don't know, maybe that's a reason that people are drawn to doing that, because you can just do a lot of different things. The range is so much different.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Totally. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for those other acts who like, yeah, have such great, funny music. But I would imagine that it's a similar experience to like what Mike was saying there, which is like music somehow like offers such a like a rich well of like emotions and sort of like memories and attachments that like if you it can kind of guide people through a funny situation more than a lot of stuff. I don't know, it's just like a, or it can like work against it. You can have like a huge, like funny production for like a very small idea or a small like performance. But and Austin, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, and Mike, what you added, just like the idea of like getting this released production wise, I never thought about it, but it is like the level of production that you can bring to an album and get it out quickly to people can be as equal in impressiveness or whatever, or sort of like impact, as a comedy special that would take a Herculean effort to like
but it's also more accessible.
Yeah.
Because you could just, you know, pull up Spotify on your phone and listen to it instead of having to sit down and plan out an hour of your time. You could do it on the road. You can do it, I mean, pretty much virtually anywhere at this point. So
that's right. Also, like, that you can like on the sly sort of get somebody. Nothing's harder than to watch a funny video or whatever and try to sit down and friend and go like, give this whatever 10 minutes, warm up to it, and I'll start making you laugh. Whereas like, you could put on a song on the background and somebody's just like, oh, what's this? It's like, already got you. Yeah.
And it's also never as funny when you show someone a video after you've watched it. Oh, you're just waiting for them to laugh at that little, never happens.
They feel it. They know it.
They know it. They're just waiting.
They smell your fear that it's not actually funny.
Exactly. And then you question your whole comedy sense. It's horrible. So, all right, if you guys could choose a comedy peer to collaborate with on a future record or maybe a song, who would you go with?
Gallagher 2.
Gallagher 2. I'd say Gallagher 2.
That'd be cool. You said peer. They're younger than us. let me think.
I mean, you know, that's a great question.
When I said Gallagher 2 there, musically, it could have also meant Liam and Noel Gallagher of Oasis.
That is true. Are they peers of yours? That would be pretty cool.
Gallagher too.
We do a three generations thing.
Oh, my.
Where it'll be like the Gallagher brother comedians open and smash up some watermelons. You clean that up. Then the Gallagher brothers reunite as Oasis. They come out. They rock out.
They smash a watermelon.
With their guitars.
Yeah, they have a watermelon, a guitar that's shaped like a watermelon. They play a song and then they smash the guitar.
Obviously.
And then Oasis leaves the stage. And then Mike and I go, hey, we're not Gallagher's. His last name's Cassidy. My last name's Rush. And then we play some music.
It's perfect. Sounds like a master plan.
I guess that's a collaboration.
I'll count it. All right. So on the other hand, though, who of your comedy friends do you think should pursue a music career?
Ooh, good question.
Someone who's not quite modest about their skills.
Well, our buddy who we've known, I've known just as long as Michael here, Neil Campbell, and Mike and Neil's friendship precedes them. Mm-hmm. I know Neil Campbell on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast has rapped a few lyrics in his day.
Quite impressive, if I do say so.
Yeah, quite impressive.
Neil should release a rap album. That's a great idea.
And he backed us up, not backed us up, he assisted us on our song Blood, mm-hmm. that has a sort of Linkin Park-esque rap
in the middle of the hard
edge rock. Make sure to tag Linkin Park in this.
Oh, I use all the Linkin Park hashtags, of course. Yeah. I'll tag Neil as well, make sure he gets the message to drop whatever he's doing and get
Neil is a wordsmith, to be sure. One of the...
Absolutely.
Around that guy.
Oh my God! Yeah, everything he writes, I love.
Yes.
That's awesome. So
I realize, Austin, because we were being goofball supreme at the very top when you asked how Mike and I, you know, like what our friendship and relationship, like. Mike and I did meet at the University of Iowa in Iowa City, Iowa.
Nice.
We were both students there, and first time I saw. Mike performed was at this forum called No Shame Theater. That was like a live show on Friday nights at 11 in the theater building. And I saw Mike be really, really funny and he cracked me up. And then I think it was later, it wasn't that night or anything, but maybe soon later I found out that you, maybe because in a sketch or something, you played like a trumpet or something. So I was like, oh, that guy can play music too. And then I found out you were a music major as well as, you know, doing theater. And then, yeah, we just started doing sketches and stuff there and maybe would occasionally have like a musical element or something.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, we did mostly sketch comedy for years and years, and in Los Angeles also after we moved here. And then, yeah, we started the band a couple, like maybe a year or two after we were both out here.
Did you guys move here together or separate times or just happened to?
Separate times, but close.
Okay. Basically.
A year apart, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's like what encouraged me to move out here too. I was going to move to like Chicago because I viewed things on the like 4-year curriculum sense of like I did high school for 4 years and college for 4 years, and now I'll go to Chicago and do comedy there for 4 years and then move to LA because I graduated from. And Mike here and Neil Campbell were both living out here in LA and doing sketch comedy, and it was like, you bonehead, come out here. And
what I
was
are
like,
you doing? Oh, right.
Yeah. I was so glad when you did it. It was and Neil, more lavishing praise on Neil Campbell. He's pretty much, I was choosing between New York and LA, and he was moving from New York to LA, and I was like, all right, let's do it. That's where I, you know.
Hey, that was look at the only that.
Reason, but Neil was definitely a leading reason, because then it was like, oh yeah, that's great. I want to go somewhere where I'm going to like hit the ground running with some people that I know.
And then we found out when we moved to Los Angeles, Neil had connections in the big sunglasses industry.
He had a controlling share of Sunglass Hut.
And he said, I can get these two rubes from Iowa to come out here and buy a couple pairs of sunglasses because they're not going to need it when they're...
this guy we said was nice and smart, he screwed us!
No, I'm just being goofball moment. But then, Mike and Neil lived together in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make this so drawn out. But, and then, like, Mike had a piano, like an acoustic piano, and I would say probably around 2006 or 2007, we started writing little songs and funny tunes together. And then like, I don't know, a year and a half after that, that's when we joined up with our buddy who sadly passed away, Harris Whittles, as a drummer. And
yep, Harris, we performed a lot with Harris. We performed a lot in Los Angeles. We did 2 EPs and Gorgeous, our full length with Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Harris, performance is on Dazzle Me also. We built his kind of recordings of Harris's old performances into a song there.
Yeah, cool. The majority of time that the band Don't Stop or We'll Die has been together was time with Harris in it. And also, like, can't be overstated, like, beyond, like, had every single contribution to the band and how it was or how we thought we were being funny and and just like a superior drummer. I've said it a couple times before, but Harris is like and I don't know if it's his background in like writing and acting or performance or just like being a person connected to the human experience and the spectrum of feelings and emotions, but like his drumming was just like it was emotional. It had like feeling, and I don't mean in an emo way emotional, but it just like or that too, like,
yeah, it was soulful.
Yes he could like sort of express something through like rhythm and tone that was like very very impressive, and I miss it to this day.
I was gonna ask, what, you know, is there something that might be missing from him not being in the band, but you kind of just answered that for me. So it's really nice to see that that you guys brought him in on the album in 2018.
I mean, it was all like with Harris, definitely like him kicking something in and us all like taking it to the next level all together, or any three of us doing that. And then, so that's something that like, I know we miss is just like that sort of like, that mind, certainly. And then, the other thing, like, or and then in addition, I was just going to say, like, the thing that it has been nice with, in addition to Tony just being just an beyond incredible, like, drummer, Amin, we met Amin through Harris. And so they have a lot of, like, similar comedy like touchstones, like and I mean same with Tony, we all think the same stuff is same shit is funny shit, but like I mean, even this sound is gonna sound like creepy in a like a, you know, the I'm dating you but you have eyes and hair just like my last few girlfriends, but Amin's like laugh and sort of like delivery of like way of talk or just the way of talking is like can be similar to Harris's too. So there's time I feel like that energy is still very much in the band.
Yeah, and Dan Mola, who plays with Lucius and Chimney, he produced our last two albums also with Amin. And that's another pal of Harris's from high school. That's Dan and Harris are old buddies from growing up in Houston. And so having those guys work on the albums was kind of a way of keeping Harris's DNA woven into things. And I mean, moving forward, like Paul said, like for the podcast and all these recordings, like, yeah. Yep, it's great. He's, you know, Harris is still in the mix here, you know, one way or another.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So this might be a little difficult question to ask here, but and especially now because, well, maybe not. I don't know what's going on in your guys' lives, but filming and creating comedy, what is bringing you more of a joy in life at the moment? Is it comedy? Is it music? Or is it a mix of the both?
I mean, as joy bringer and giver, music is always going to top comedy because it's just like a sensation that you get. I never thought about it this way, but like when you like rehearse and plan for a moment, even to the extent of like improv where you're like setting up a scene or something, mm-hmm. like it's still following some like rules that even if you kind of feel a feeling during it, you kind of have to like stay focused on other things. Right. But when you're performing music, I think you get to kind of like enjoy, and maybe this is like people would go like, yeah, we can tell you're indulgent, but no, but like I think I'm just like, oh, I definitely can just experience and feel the feelings of the moment more. Sorry guys, this sounds so fucking stupid, but I don't know, when I love sketch comedy probably the most, but like it is like you gotta figure out getting a costume, you gotta memorize all your lines.
Yeah, I agree. Specific, like that music is certainly more hardwired to my like dopamine releasers, like my emotional reaction to things. Mm-hmm. And that's another fun thing about us being a band and doing songs and not being beholden to joke structure or any structure, kind of. I mean, certainly musical structure is present, but we get to put music out and music, I think playing live music, I agree with Paul 100%. We did a live show on Twitch last month, which was the first live music that I had played in a long time, and there is just nothing like it. It's so much fun. It's just very exhilarating, and yeah, because Paul spelled that out. Like there's a roadmap, and you know the songs, of course, but then you just like let it rip. It's so great. It's very exciting, and playing live music is really hard to kind of recreate that set of joys, and you're also like collaborating in real time with people on stage with you, you know, musically. And, you know, we got these incredible musicians up there. And
but also, Austin, your question of like the, I realized I didn't like really think the COVID of it all, but yeah, like right. the whole COVID sitch, the whole pandemic, babe. it's like I don't know, like I definitely like certainly miss live music performance, but also just in general live comedy performance. And when you asked me right now, sort of like asked us like, oh, what is it right now for you, or what's giving you pleasure, it's not in addition to just like what we're making, but you made me realize like, oh, the stuff I'm like taking in is like musically is a little bit kind of like a little bit more playful. It's stuff I've always loved, but I've just been watching like a lot of course, live outside concerts.
Same, so much live, so many live albums, but unconsciously listening to them, not planning to, just trying to get into the world of like what we used to do. I totally understand that.
You speak the truth, and it's like when you are watching those or listening to it, like the unconsciousness of it all. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh yeah, you saying that, like, it was like, oh yeah, I guess I have been like, you know, it's like Ween and Pavement.
And, oh, nice.
And watching those, like, kind of being like a little, like, idiosyncratic live in front of people. I definitely, that's, like, what's giving me pleasure. And I was telling Mike, like, 3 months ago, I was saying, like, oh, I was watching Ween play live outside and a wind sort of picked up. And, like, this is what it was. It was the sun was shining. And a cloud must have passed overhead because a shadow sort of like came in and stayed over the band for a bit and then like passed on. And it was because, oh, a cloud must have flown over. And because the cloud was flying over, that meant the wind was blowing. And now a wind came in and kind of like gently blew all of their hair like on stage. And I was like, I didn't think I would miss this. This is so wild.
So specific.
Breeze on a someone else's face.
Oh man. Lots of live shows, lots of live albums. But in addition to that, I feel like there's been so many artists that are releasing archived music this year, just kind of digging through what they haven't released in the past, putting out new albums, putting out random singles. What have you guys been listening to? What's been kind of on your radar for everyday music?
Mike, I assume is hushing his child and not hushing Austin about the question. Like, oh, you dare
can hush
not
me all you want.
Or that would be cool too if your son came in, Mike, and was like, "I'll show you what he's been listening to."
I have a plan for the launch of Walter's career, and it doesn't start today. His skills will become evident.
Mike, is there anything new that's come out, like, in quarantine that seems like maybe even kind of came out because of quarantine that's keeping you juiced?
Not really. I got to tell you that I am, like, clinging. I'm not listening to new stuff. I feel like, if anything, I'm doing it for them and digging into, like, back catalogs and... Like, you had sent me a little while ago, Paul, that band Can, and I just, been on a deep dive of them since you sent me that. There's definitely been Ween albums I haven't heard in many years that are getting, it's more old stuff, and I don't know, is it lame? I'm not listening to new stuff. When there's new releases, I'm like, I don't have bandwidth for this.
It's whatever makes you happy. It's whatever shred of happiness you can find. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm realizing, like, my in all media for me, movies and TV shows, everything, I haven't, I mean, this is sad, but just haven't, like, ventured out into new territory because to go back is more comfortable. To, like, revisit things that I know have a guarantee.
The known, yeah, truly.
But I realize in another situation or maybe another time of my life, if I was in quarantine, the idea of being able to hear something new and fresh that's coming out every day would be like the biggest gift in the world, because I would be like, oh, there's something new that's keeping me like, I don't know, have some sort of umbilical cord to the world, or I don't know.
Totally understand. And again,
what about
yeah,
you, Austin? Have you like, I don't even mean like specifics. I just mean like overall, like, do you have a vibe you've been following in quarantine?
I mean, just, well, first off, we do two featured artists per day. So listen to a lot of new music. We try to do
Holy
at least
cow.
Two independent artists, mostly like bedroom artists who no one knows, aren't signed to labels. So I'll at least listen to one new album a day, maybe a new song per day.
Oh my God.
But as far as like my everyday listening, I've definitely gone more towards podcasts for sure. Things that I can kind of zone out to. But I mean, yeah, I'm really the same of kind of listening to the things that brought me back to like the last live shows I went to, like in February before we shut down, and listening to a lot of those artists. Obviously there've been a lot of my favorites that have put out new albums this year that I like haven't, or that I've had to listen to just because, you know, you love the band. But yeah, I really have felt myself gearing more towards a longing for the past, even maybe like past music festivals I went to, and kind of just going up and down the lineup and maybe checking out a band that I didn't get to that day or that I wanted to get to and something came up. It's really been a lot of, again, trying to find shreds of happiness wherever you can find it and escaping from the madness like mentally.
I love that. Yeah. And I realized, because it was so early on in quarantine, but this was totally like, I think people were heralding it as like the first quarantine record of its time, you know, was Fetch the Bolt Cutters, like
right
away.
First 10 from Pitchfork and what, like 10 years or something like that. Amazing album.
They all put down their pitchforks. They all put down their pitchforks and said,
they buried the pitchfork.
Right.
That was an incredible album, and that's insane that that was this year. That's nuts.
For real.
I know.
That's so wild. That was not long ago as that feels. Yeah, that album rules.
And the songs are so, so good. Like the tunes just themselves are like, you could record them anyway and they'd all be like hits, but the way it was recorded too is just like, is so cool. And like having everyday sounds, like be able to kind of like, in a way, probably, you know, it didn't know it was in quarantine, but it's all the like crap that's like in your life, like
right,
in every corner, and getting to hear like music come out of it was really comforting.
Seriously. And I actually wanted to go back to just one thing that you said, Paul, about when you listen to music these days and you form the memories of when you listen to them, even like watching past things. I've become wary of listening to new music nowadays, because then you'll forever have that memory of where you listen to it. Like if I was looking for, you know, have you ever listened to Tame Impala before?
Uh-uh.
Okay. They're like a psych.
Mike, have you?
What's that?
Oh, have you heard? What's the band?
No, I haven't.
Tame Impala. They're like a psychedelic rock band. They're like blowing up all over the world basically, and it was the last concert that I went to 2 days before lockdown, and it was like, are we going to cancel this concert, like what should we do? It was at the Forum in Los Angeles, so it's like 15,000 people or whatever. But the album came out in mid-February, and now you'll forever have this memory of listening to it, you know, in this place. And so when music comes out, you know, in any time between, you know, March and now, you're forever going to have that memory of hearing it for the first time locked in your bedroom or in your living room for the seventh straight day or whatever it is. So it becomes difficult to want to listen to new things or try out new things or even watch new things.
Yeah.
So yeah, longing to the past is a definitely a thing. But I wanted to wrap things up here because I didn't want to take up too much of your time. I wanted to just open up the floor one more time for you guys to kind of plug this podcast and let the listeners know the details again of what's going on and where they can hear you and when everything's coming out.
Sure. And thank you very much again for having us. This was awesome. Oh,
thank you for coming. This is serious. Like, I love you guys as just a fan. So this is a huge deal for me as well.
Well, thank you. And likewise, we're excited to have some music coming out. That's nice. Podcast is going to start on Wednesday, November 11th. And then every Wednesday from then on out, there's a brand new Don't Stop or We'll Die song that's being released wherever podcasts can be found, and check out the our Patreon page.
Yeah, the Patreon, the episode, there's the bonus episodes are the first, there's two a month, the first and third Saturday of the month. So we thought, hey, I get lonesome and need to fill a specific void with podcasts. There's no new ones on Saturday. Or there's less. So we're trying to fill that.
Now there's more.
On Saturday. And then, yeah, also with the Patreon is also you can, each of the songs you can download and own outright. Because Mike and I were saying, like, gosh, it's so noble of us to be giving out a new free song each week, but we can figure out a way to make a buck off this.
And you deserve to. You work hard, you deserve to.
I'll carve a few bucks out of this thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then we're also having a launch, release, show, party, fun, confetti, ice cream on Twitch. On the Friday after we're launching the podcast, that'll be Friday the 13th of November. And we're going to do a full show, Tony Thaxton, Amin Zarukian, Paul and myself. Full sets. That's produced by our pals at Highland Park TV, Stony Sharp. They make it look incredible. And we'll be streaming that to Twitch and maybe Insta also. Here from Los Angeles.
That Highland Park TV setup that Stony has is like really great. He got his hands on some old like 90s live editing gear. So he can like public access style sort of like shoot concerts and or performances live. So it's been definitely awesome. It's like a nice touch when you're watching watching it live, getting to have different angles and like
an aesthetic.
Yeah, and also just another creative thing happening. It was funny because when we got done with our last Twitch show, we stepped out of the studio and there was a limo there and Martin Scorsese stepped out and he said, "Not since the last waltz have I seen a live performance captured so beautifully."
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then he vanished. He was back in the limo and gone before we even... Yeah.
We were also like, you reference your own movie as like, okay, like easy. Also, Austin, I was going to say, I noticed during our Zoom, like a thing popped up that said like, have to kick into this thing for extra minutes. Hey, buddy, we'll kick in the money to like pay for this. I feel bad.
If, oh
like,
my God, if don't even, over. You don't know me anything. Yeah. This was more than enough, I promise. Okay. You're good. Your time is currency.
Well, we shall buy you a taco post-quarantine, my
perfect.
Man.
Perfect. Yeah, I was going to say, if we ever get out of this, would love to hang out and grab a beer or something.
Well, I mean,
yeah, Honor, maybe as of today. We'll see. Again, thank you guys so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And let's keep in touch. And I, you know, we'll definitely be doing a review of the music coming out. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, thank
That's
you.
That's great. Austin. And we're not releasing any of these songs, like I said, but I can send you the first episode of the song from the first episode if you wanted any of the music.
Yeah, absolutely.
For like review purposes, I can send you the track. Is that
Ooh, I hope
or something? I don't know. We can figure something out.
I hope your listeners enjoy this behind the scenes shot talk.
Yeah, this is going in. This isn't getting edited out at all. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for real. Yeah, we'll connect after, and you can send everything on over. We'd love to cover it. All right. Thank you guys so much again. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you so much for this.
Take care.
Thank you. A true pleasure. That was fun.
Seriously. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You too.